It's always a pleasure to stand before God's people and break the bread of life with them. God has been good to me, you know. Most of you know I've been going through a physical illness, but this sickness is not unto death, only so that God may be glorified. So the devil can't steal my joy. He could take my leg, he could take my teeth, he could take my liver, but he can't take my joy, because the joy of the Lord is my strength. And I know as long as I keep that joy, my problem becomes so insignificant that it's worth not even thinking about. When I focus on people's needs more than my own needs, my problem becomes so less significant that I can't focus on my needs. And that's what keeps me going, because I work in a ministry where guys are more needier than I am and have more pressing issues than I have than cancer. So I focus on their needs, and that makes my problems less light for me, you know what I mean? So God is good. And when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, I can go cuckoo for Jesus. Because God is definitely a good God, a faithful God. He's faithful to his word, and he's faithful to his people. I just want to share a little bit of my heart with this congregation. Pastor Vaughn, I give honor to him, the angel of this house, who founded Not Robbery, to invite me over here to share my heart with you. Pastor Vaughn's a great man of God. I love him to death. Big Englishman with a big Jesus heart, amen? So, bear with me. Yeah, I've been doing ministry now for like 12 years. Just a little bit of something, you know, not much. But God has used me miraculously in such a short period of time. He saw fit to bring me out of darkness into his marvelous light. And I'm so grateful for that, you know. I could have died the crack addict. I could have died the heroin addict. But God saw fit to allow me to live as a man of God and to go out as a man of God. And that's the good news, that I'm not dying as what I used to be, because I'm not what I used to be. I'm not quite what society may think I should be, but I'm striving to be everything God wants me to be. Amen? Amen. So let's open up with a word of prayer. Father God, as I stand behind your most sacred desk to break your word, share your word with your people, your sons and your daughters, Lord God. Hide me behind the cross. Let them see none of me and all of you, Lord God. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight and in your ears, Lord God. Use your willing and available vessel to bring glory to you today, Lord God. We love you, Jesus, and we honor you today, because this is the day the Lord has made, and we're going to rejoice and be glad in it. We thank you, Lord, for life today, Lord God, because somebody didn't wake up. Somebody set their alarm clock to get up but did not get up, Lord God. But you saw fit to wake each and every one of us up to start us on our way to your house so we can give you the praise, Lord God. So that's what we come to do, to lift up the name of Jesus. We give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise, for you are God and God all by yourself. You don't need none of us, but we all desperately need you. And we say thank you, Lord, for using us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. The word of God is coming from Ezekiel 37. 1 to 10. When I spoke to Pastor Vaughn, he said he wanted, hey, Pat. I spoke to Pastor Vaughn, and he said he wanted me to bring life to the church, a word of life. And God gave me Ezekiel. And the word of God reads, the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds of breath, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. May God add a blessing to the reading and the hearing of his most holy word. The reason why I chose that text, because the Valley of Dry Bones reminds me of Midtown Kingston. Wherever there's prostitutes, drug addicts, gangbangers, gunslingers, they spiritually dead people. And all of us, once upon a time in our lives, were spiritually dead. We didn't know nothing spiritual. We was all natural men. And the Bible says, how can a natural man discern the things of a spiritual man? It's foolishness unto them. So the Valley of Dry Bones is where a lot of church people don't want to go, in the hood, where the drug dealers are. And the devil will scatter a bunch of dead things to scare the church people, like drug dealers and prostitutes. A lot of church people have been brought out of some of that stuff. A lot of us haven't been in that Valley of Dry Bones, but we came from some part of our lives where we were dry and spiritually dead. And God breathed breath on us, allowed somebody to come in a place where we needed breath of life breathed in us, and they breathed the breath of life in us. Now we got to go give it back to somebody else. Freely we got it, freely we must give it away. So God allows us to raise us up, to send us back to a place where a lot of us are fearful of, but God doesn't give us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of sound mind. So we shouldn't be afraid to go where God tells us to go, where God asks us to go. The Bible says, go ye therefore, telling everybody about somebody who can save anybody. But lo, I am with you always. So you're not going alone. You're going with the Spirit of God that's in you. But you have to believe it, receive it, and allow him to achieve it. My subject this morning is, are we going to help them live or watch them die? Because a lot of us will stand on the sidelines and say, oh, they need to clean up these streets. Somebody need to get the police down here and arrest these drug addicts and these prostitutes. But we have the power of life in us to go breathe and prophesize the life to them dead people. Tell them, man, I used to be a drug addict, or I used to be depressed, or I used to be angry, but I'm not there no more because God gave me life and life abundantly. And if he did it for me, he wants to do it for you. We can't sit on this thing. I believe God is tired of the church sitting behind the four walls getting fat and lazy. God wants us to go out and feed the hungry, feed clothed and naked, and give those who are thirsty for the word, the word. But we come to church every Sunday and sit here and hoard it all to ourselves, and then we go home and plug in a tape and listen to it at home, and the people in the street are dying every day because nobody's man enough or woman enough to go out there and prophesy to those dead bones, to tell them that you can live, you don't have to die. I thank God for raising me up at such a time as this where I wasn't fearful when I was in the world. I'm definitely not fearful now that I have God on my side, because if he protected me when I was crazy and didn't know him, how much more you think he's going to do for me now that I have a personal relationship with him? So that's why I'm willing to go into the jails, into the streets, into the hospital, into the detox, into the streets, Christian rehab centers, wherever God asks me to go, I'm going to go. Because I'm not going by myself, I'm going with the power of God. And I walk in the authority of Jesus Christ. The Bible says we shall do greater things than Jesus did when he walked the earth. Do we believe that, or we just quote it? A lot of Christians walk around with CIA Bibles. They black out the stuff they don't want to receive and highlight the stuff they want to receive. That's the CIA Bible. But you got to get the whole Bible. God says, get the whole Bible. Don't do no CIA Bible stuff, you know, because then you ain't going to go nowhere because you're just getting what you want. And you still on the throne. You're not surrendering nothing to God. The Bible says, cast all your cares. That word all means exactly what it says. All your cares upon the Lord, for he cares for you and he'll work it out. The devil specializes in illusions. He'll make stuff look worse than what it is. He'll put facts right before your face. Yes, the fact is that the valley's full of dry bones. There's drug addicts and prostitutes and gangbangers out there, bank robbers and people that we don't want to associate ourselves with. Yeah, they running around out there, but that's just the illusion. Now we have to speak the truth to the fact. I have an illusion. Yes, my stomach is bloated. Yes, my eyes are getting yellow. Yes, I have cancer, but that's the fact. But the truth is that God's word says, by his stripes I am healed. That I shall live and not die. That he came to give me life and life abundantly, not life with cancer. So yeah, I'm looking at the illusion, but I'm speaking the truth to the illusion. And the truth will set us free. But how much do we believe what we say? I see so many Christians running around quoting scripture and don't live near one of them. You want the resurrection power of Jesus Christ in your life, you have to live the word. That's the only way the world's going to see Jesus is through our lifestyles. Some people come to church, raise up holy hands, and on their job, they cursing their coworkers out. And then got the name to implement Jesus in it. And well, say, man, what I'm going to go to church for? The church ain't much different than the world. Because there's so much world in the church. We are Christians, men and women of God. The Bible says, how would the world know you from me unless you love one another? We have to start loving each other first before we can go loving anybody else. If we can't talk to each other and get real with each other, how are we going to get real with the people in the world? How are we going to prophesy to something dead when we can't even talk to the life people in the church? When we can't even connect with our brothers and sisters, we got attitudes and non-functional things going on in the house of God. How are we going to be expected to go prophesy to something dead? God says we have to get the love thing right. I don't care if you have the gift of talking in tongues, laying on hands, prophesying. If you don't have love, you're talking loud and saying nothing. Amen. And whatever you do, if your motive's not love, shut up and sit down. Because everything I want to do, I want to be motivated by love. When I became a Christian, I looked for a role model. And the only role model I could find was Jesus Christ. I said, Lord, I want to role model my ministry after you. I want to role model my life after you. Yeah, and it's hard living a Christian lifestyle, especially when you're coming from the world, 30-some years of gangbanging and drugging and dealing and living your own way. Now you got to transform that stuff over to Jesus. That's hard, but it's not impossible. Because if you hunger and thirst after the righteousness of Jesus Christ, he will fill you up. He will give you life and life abundantly. But how bad do you want to live? That's my question. How bad do you want to live? Because it's easy to die. Just stay on that path of destruction. Keep leaning on your own understanding. Eventually, you're going to hit the destruction of death. But if you want to live, listen to the voice of God. When I was in prison, I used to say, Lord, there's going to be many voices speaking to me when I come out. It's going to be the voice of my friends, the voice of the church people, the voice of my spouse when you give me one. But I want to know your voice. And immediately God told me, my voice don't speak to your intellect. It speaks to your heart. Because this is the battlefield. This is where the devil tricks us, trips us, and traps us. He'll make a lie sound so good you'll go write a check. And find yourself off in a cop car somewhere. But if God speaks to your heart, the Bible says, whatsoever in a man's heart, that's what he is. God knew once he gets your heart, everything else will follow. Your time, your money, everything else will follow him. Just like when you gave your heart to your wife. She got your time, your money, and everything else. So God said, I better get his heart for that girl, get it. Because he might go broke. Yeah, God knows what to do to get you. And God will allow you to run so far until you hang yourself, where you can fall into a pit so deep you don't know no way out but up. That's how he had to let me run, through the valley of dead bones. For many years I was out there. I lost my leg. I was shot, stabbed, pronounced dead 4 times in 1 year, overdose of heroin, in the county jail 86 times before I went to maximum security prison. That's a long run in hell. That's a lot of running through hell. But I ran through hell and I came to glory. You have to go through. You have to go through to get to. God allows trials and tribulations in our lives to test us, to strengthen us, to give us experience. Sometimes we're going through stuff not just for ourselves, but for the witnesses of other people. So other people can see the glory of God in your life. This sickness is not unto death. It's for my camp up there to see how strong I am in the Lord. I'm preaching every Sunday. God is good. He's a healer. He's a deliverer. And if I walk around like I'm defeated, they're going to say, well, where's Jesus at in that? That's right. So I can't let these guys see me going through hell. In the natural man, I'm weak. I'm you know, sick. But my spirit man is strong. I got to trust totally in God at a time like this. This is a fight for my life. And I have to go deep into spiritual warfare every day for my life. I have to surround myself around positive people, not people who pity party with me. Oh, man, you look bad. You know, it don't look good for you. That's why I thank God for Brother Tar. He tell me, man, I ain't receiving it until you take your last breath. I'm not going to get on that pity party bandwagon. I'm just going to say, you living. And you're going into jails and you're still doing what you've been doing because you're not dying. Rob said the same thing. He said, man, you're going to live to baptize my great-grandchildren. Those are the type of people you want to be surrounded around. Positive input. Because it's easy to sink deep into depression. That's the devil specializes in that. He'll make the illusion look so real that next thing you're depressed and you don't want to do nothing for God. And that's what the devil comes to do. Steal, kill, and destroy. He don't want nothing good for our lives. He want to mess you up. He don't want you serving God in no type of way, no type of capacity. So he'll do anything he can to distract you, delay you, and just mess you up in the things of God. But he could never deny you of anything God promised you. Because God's promises is yes and amen. I love the Lord because he first loved me. My spiritual father, Paul Worthington, he came into the county jail and breathed the breath of life in my life, so I came out of the valley of dead bones. He found it not robbery to go into the jails and into the streets. The same thing I'm doing, he was doing way before I was doing it. And he ran across me, yo, love bug, come hear what the Lord got to say. I said, man, the Lord ain't got nothing to say to me, Paul. You going home at 10 o'clock. I got to go to cell block 6. But he was diligent, and he did what God told him to do, and look what the Lord done. Now he got to see the fruits of his labor. Your labor is not in vain when you witness to those people. The Bible says, to the least of them, you doing it unto God, unless you got the CIA Bible. But my Bible says, if I feed the hungry, I'm feeding Jesus. If I clothe the naked, I'm clothing Jesus. If I give Jesus something to drink, I'm giving it to Jesus to drink. Whoever I'm doing it to who's in that position, I'm doing it unto the Lord. So why wouldn't I want to bless Jesus after he snatched me out of darkness and brought me into his marvelous light? How could I not love my brother who I can see and love God who I can't see and not love my brother who I do see in a need? I'm a liar and the truth ain't in me. I'm a new modern day Pharisee running around quoting scriptures that ain't living none of them. Oh, I love you, brother. That standoff type of love. Some of us been there. Oh, I love you, bro. Boy, that man stink. And you don't think they don't know you talking about him. Street people are well in tune with, they'll quote scriptures to you and tell you what you're supposed to be doing more than you could tell it. You call yourself a Christian and you loving me like that? You better give me some love. They rub all that funk on you then. I know he's scared to death. Let me love the fuck on him. Yeah. God is good. And he's going to be good whether I live or whether I die. We have to learn how to be witnesses in trials and tribulations as well as the good time. It's easy to say God is good when your pockets are fat and you got everything going your way. It's good to shout hallelujah. But can you do it when you're in the midst of the fire? When you feel the heat consuming your flesh, can you say God is good? Hallelujah anyhow. Though he slay me, yet I will still serve him. It's times my humanly flesh wants to get on the complaining pot with God, but every time I fix my lips to start complaining, he say, remember Job. There's not a man living today that could go through what Job went through in those times. But he didn't complain. He did not complain. He said, God giveth and God taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And I just imagine seeing Job sitting there scraping the pus and the sores like it was no hope. The illusion of the enemy. There's no hope for you, Job. Curse God and die. Even his wife told him, curse God and die. Not because she was an ungodly woman, because she lost the same things Job lost. The same amount of money he lost, she lost, because they were married, they became one. The same 10 children he lost, she lost, only it was more painful for her because she gave birth to him. But she went through all that with silent frustration. And now she see the last thing she loves getting ready to lose that. So her silent frustration becomes explosive frustration. And she says, curse God and die. I lost everything I had. Now I'm getting ready to lose my husband. Get it over with. And Job said, you talk like a foolish woman. God giveth and God taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He didn't fall for the illusion. And anybody know the story of Job? No, he got double for his trouble, amen? So I'm waiting for my double blessing. I'm getting ready to get a double blessing. I'm getting ready to get blessed. All I got to do is stand, that's all. Stand to the end. Trust in the Lord with all my heart. Lean not unto my own understanding, but acknowledge him in all my ways, and he will direct my life. He will bring me out of this pit of hell like he brought me out of all the other pits of hell I was in. I was talking to the chief of police when I first told him the news. He said, Herbie, I'm not concerned about that. If you went through hell and survived hell without knowing Jesus, how much more you think God's going to bring you through this? You know him. You got a personal relationship. This is the chief of police I'm talking about. He witnessing to me. I said, Jerry, you're right, man. Yeah, I've been through some hell and survived and didn't know Jesus. Now that I know Jesus, I better not start complaining and murmuring. I better keep praising him. Because when praises go up, blessings come down. We got to believe what we say. That's the problem. A lot of Christians say it when times are good, but when the times get hard, we can't find the word we need to bring us out because we don't really have it in our heart. The Bible says, burn the word of God in your heart so you may not sin against him. Man, I saturate my mind with the things of God. I tell the devil every time he tries to whisper a lie to me, there's no vacancies available for you up here. It's all rented out to the Lord Jesus Christ. I rented every space in my mind to Jesus. Every place in my heart belongs to Jesus. I can lay down watching Jesus and wake up watching Jesus. I see Jesus all through the camp, through my men. When I walk around, I see them praying and fasting on my behalf. How could I not believe what God said? I got a witness, clouds of witnesses up in the camp. This guy, Billy Snyder, he was in the camp. He had hepatitis C, cancer, and AIDS. 23 years later, he's still living with the same thing. Still getting on people's nerve. I said, man, if he did it for you, he going to do it for me, bro. I ain't even worried about it. If he did it for you, I know he going to do it for me. And God just keeps putting witnesses in my path to show me, you're not going nowhere. This is just a new testimony. You have to be tested if you want to testify. New levels, new devils. I'm not fighting the same levels that I fought when I first came to Christ. They bigger and badder. But God said, I won't give you no more than you can handle. You can handle this, Herbie, just like Job can handle it. You can handle it because you're going to go through praising me and you're going to be a powerful witness on my behalf. So when I bring you out, nobody will be able to get the glory but me. How could I not believe that? We serve an awesome God, a mighty God, a God who loves us unconditionally. He loved us when we couldn't love ourselves. There was times I couldn't even look in the mirror at myself because I was so ugly and tore up and mean and evil. But today I can look at myself and say, God, you did a great work. You did a great work. He's given me a heart of flesh where I love people I never thought I could love. I don't even have to know you to love you. If you look like God, I love you. And we all created in the image of Jesus Christ, amen? So we supposed to love one another. Don't tell me you love me when I'm dead. Tell me you love me while I'm living. That word love is thrown around so loosely in society today that it lost a lot of power. But love is an action word. I tell the men all the time, if I say I love you, I have to show you I love you. And I show them I love them by taking them out to lunch, doing personal things for them, buying them stuff when I go away on vacation. It's just little things to show them I love them. It's easy to say I love you. People say that all the time, I love you, then they go cut your back out. But if you love somebody, you have to show them. Love is an action word. And God put the true love test, the love word to the test when he died on the cross. That was the ultimate action to love. Because he didn't have to do it, but he did. He found it not robbery to climb on the cross to die for all of us, the whole world's sins. How could we not do what he asked us to do? How could we not go feed the hungry, clothe the naked? Maybe that's not your ministry, but your ministry is talking to your neighbors who's beating up on his wife. You hear that every day. Or beating their kids. You don't want to go witness to them about it because it ain't your business. Yeah, if you're a Christian, it's your business. It's your business to be a witness for Jesus in some form or some type of capacity. On your job. Stop stealing the paper clips. Hey, you know, I know what I'm talking about. I don't talk nothing I ain't lived. Amen. You know, you want to be a real man of God, live like a man of God. Be a witness to people who call us hypocrites. I used to hear guys tell me, Pastor Herbie, man, I don't want to go to church with all those hypocrites. I said, well, you go to the supermarket, don't you? There's a bunch of hypocrites in the supermarket. You don't, that don't stop you from shopping. You're still going to the bar. Why are you gonna let the hypocrites not keep you out of the bar, but keep you out of church? It's a trick from the devil. And if there's so many hypocrites in the church, you come show us how not to be a hypocrite. Raise the standard. Put the standard up higher so we can live like men and women of God. We need examples in the church. That's what we need. We need real men and women of God who's going to lead by example. The older women in the church should be showing the younger women how to dress and how to carry themselves like women. The problem with this generation, we got babies raising babies. There's no parental guidance in the family because the kids are having kids. They don't know how to be a parent themselves. Where is the mothers of the church? Where are the spiritual fathers of the church to take the youth off to the side and tell them, man, that ain't the way, bro. Stop sticking and moving. Preserve yourself for your wife. Preserve yourself for your husband. There's blessings in waiting on the Lord. There's blessings in being obedient. I wish I was a lot obedient until I turned 38. But if I'd have been obedient when I was 16, when my mother was telling me about the gospel, I wouldn't have been through all the hell I went through. If I would have just said no the first time somebody offered me a marijuana cigarette, I wouldn't have went through all the hell I went through. Because I would have been saved. So we need to raise the standard up in the church. Start leading by example in the church. Don't let your kids see you raising holy hands in church and then going home fussing with his mother or breaking out your Jack Daniels. Because kids are sponges. They absorb everything they see. And believe me, they don't want to go to church when they see their mothers and fathers in church loving Jesus and going home fussing with each other and fighting with each other and cursing each other out. That's not the example we should be living for our children. It's hard being a Christian, but it was hard being messed up too. Only this time it's hard, but my rewards are out of this world. Amen. I have Holy Spirit power. The die has been cast. I have stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. I won't look back, let up, slow down, or back away. My past is redeemed. My present makes sense. My future secure. I am finished with low living, sight walking, small planning, smooth knees, tainted vision, mundane talking, cheap giving, and small goals. I no longer need preeminence, prosperity, position, promotion, or popularity. I don't have to be first. I don't have to be right. I don't have to be praised, regarded, or rewarded. I live by faith, lean on his presence, walk by patience, live by prayer, and labor by power. My goal is heaven. My road is narrow. My way is rough. My companions few. My guide reliable. My mission clear. I cannot be bought, compromised, detoured, lured away, turned back, deluded, or delayed. I will not hesitate in the presence of the adversary, negotiate at the table of the enemy, ponder at the pool of popularity, or wait at the maze of mediocrity. I won't give up, shut up, or let up until I'm stayed up, stored up, prayed up, paid up, and preached up for the cause of Christ. I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. I must go till he comes, give till I drop, preach till all know, and work till he stops me. And when he comes for his own, I said, and when he comes for his own, he won't have any problem recognizing me. I am a part of the fellowship of the unashamed. I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. I'll go where he tell me to go. I'll sit when he tell me to sit. I'll speak when he tell me to speak. My ears have been tuned to the voice of Jesus Christ. My heart is molded like Jesus. I want to live for Jesus Christ. How many people want to live for Jesus Christ? Because if you live for Jesus, that's where you'll get the life and life abundantly. But if you live for yourself, you're going to be slipping and dipping and sneaking and creeping. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We serve an awesome God, a mighty God, a God that loves us, looks past our faults, and meets us at our need. And we still have a lot of faults, saved, sanctified. Ask my wife, I still have issues. She'll tell you about them. We all got issues. We all fall short of the glory of God, but we can't use that as an excuse to keep falling. The Bible says a righteous man fell 7 times, but what made him righteous was he got back up. It's in the getting up that Jesus is looking at. It ain't in the falling down, because he made provision for the fall when he sent the best that he had to die on the cross. That was the provision for the fall, but now he wants to see if you're going to get up or you're going to stay down there kicking and screaming, help me, I've fallen and I can't get up. He said, man, I already made provision for the fall. Get up. Get back into the fight. We take a hit and get fall down and don't want to get back up. Running from God when we in sin instead of running to God. When we need to run to God when we in sin, but we run from God when we get caught in sin. Oh, they're going to talk about me in the church. Who cares? I had to learn that I cannot care about what men and women think about me because they don't have a heaven or hell to send me to. I got to be more concerned about what God thinks and sees me doing. I tell the guys that all the time. Don't try to fool a pastor because I ain't got a heaven or hell to send you to. You should be more concerned of what God see you doing and saying, because he could kill a body and cast a soul into hell. That should be our basic concern. Is God pleased with what I'm doing? Is he pleased with the way I treat my family? Is he pleased with the way I talk to people? Is he pleased with the work that he put me a steward over? Is God pleased with everything I'm doing? Because if God ain't pleased, then you need to start shake, rattling, and rolling, worrying about stuff. Because he could kill your body and cast your soul into hell. But if he's pleased, he'll say, come up, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. Come up and be ruler over many. Hallelujah! Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Man, it is well with my soul, church. It is well with my soul. Don't cry for me. Shout hallelujah, because I'm going where every Christian tries to get. You know? That's why I ran the race, so I could get to see Jesus, and now I'll be fellowshipping with the big boys. JC, Abraham, Jacob, and Isaac. I'll be sitting around the banquet table with them. I'll miss you, but I'll see you when you get there. Amen. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! God is good. So I don't want to take this time for granted. I just want to say, if anybody doesn't know Jesus Christ and the free pardon of your sins, or maybe you backslid, or maybe you just found yourself in a place where you couldn't trust the Lord because he didn't show up when you thought he should show up, this is the opportunity to give your hand to Jesus, your heart to Jesus, not to the church, but give it to Jesus. Because the church is just a four-wheel building. We are the church. We are where the temple of God want to live. And that's why the world ain't going to never see the church as long as we sitting behind the four walls. We got to get up, go out, and prophesy over those dead, spiritually dead people. Let them know there is a God that delivers, heals, and sets free, that loves you unconditionally. I don't care how much your wife said you're messed up. God loves me just the way I am. I don't care how much your kids tell you you ain't a good daddy. God loves you just the way you are. And he'll love you back into wholeness. And he'll make you everything he know you can be. Because we have so much great stuff in store in us, but God can't pull it out as long as we living like the devil with the blue dress on. God wants us to live right so he can pull out all the great work he put in us. I see so much great men and women of God in this congregation that God want to use, but you're afraid to be used by the Lord because you don't feel worthy. You feel worthless. How could God use me after I did all that junk? That's the things God want to use, the messed up, broken people. He want the garbage pickers. He finds treasure in the trash. I was trash, but look what the Lord has done. Raised me up in a blink of an eye. What took me 30-some years to mess up only took God 12 years to fix it up. God is awesome. And if he did it for me, he wants to do it for anybody who's willing to receive it. So if anybody want to give your heart to Jesus, you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, this is the opportunity. Come up and say a simple prayer. Confess with your mouth and believe it in your heart. What you say out your mouth, you believe it in your heart that it's so, and you'll be saved. Salvation is instant. Holiness is the process. That's when the battle's going to start, when you try to start living for God. But the devil's going to say, you said the prayer, but now you ain't going to live the life. No, I'm going to have to hook off for you. You try to live for Jesus. That's when he's going to start coming after you. But you can be saved immediately when you confess this prayer. If anybody need any prayer for any special stuff, illnesses or anything you're going through, I'm here to pray with you. I believe God has anointed me to heal people. Because I've been broken more than once. This is just the first sickness that the body of Christ, but I lost my right leg running with the devil. I was pronounced dead 4 times in 1 year where they were zipping a body bag up over me. Overdose of heroin, God saw fit to let me live through that. So, God did great and mighty things in my life that I could look back over and say, man, if it had not been for the Lord, I'd be dead. I should have been dead, could have been dead, would have been dead. But God said, nope, you're not going nowhere because I got a work for you to do. God has a plan and a purpose for each and every man and woman in this room's life. All you have to do is be willing to step into it. Don't be lackadaisical about the things of God. You wasn't lackadaisical about getting your drink or your booze or your drug or whatever you was into. Don't be lackadaisical about doing what God calls you to do. If God called you to do something, you might not feel worthy to do it. He'll equip you. He equips the call. God's looking for a few fools on fire, not scholars on ice. So don't worry about it. I don't have enough education to preach the gospel. No, just be a fool on fire. God will give you the words to speak when you open up your mouth. God ain't interested in your degrees. He's interested in what's going on in your heart. That's why I love the Lord, because he don't look at my appearance. He look at what's going on in my heart, and God knows my heart is for him. People will look at me and say, oh man, he's this, he's that, or he talks a good one. You know, that's men and women. They look at your outward appearance. But God looks at what's going on in the heart. That's why the Bible says, guard your heart. Keep your heart pure. Don't let gossip and anger and bitterness get in your heart. Because when that small, still voice comes to speak to your heart, there's so much junk in your trunk, you can't hear it. You got to keep your heart clear, pure. So when God speaks to you, you can hear him. That was a hard thing for me, to keep my heart pure. To not listen to the naysayers. And I'm saying, Lord, I'm doing your work and they still don't want to get on board. What's going on with that? Why are they talking about me? I'm helping building up the kingdom. God said, I didn't call everybody. I called you. God gives the increase. One waters, one plant, but God gives the increase. All we got to do is put our hand to the plow and keep it there. Don't worry about who's coming to help you plow. Don't worry who's about encouraging you. Just keep plowing. God will give you the increase. Roddy Wade's a witness. He did some time in prison. He came out and started a program, him and Paul Worthington, Save Them Now, where they do transitional housing from guys coming out of prison to make the transition from prison back into society. I remember the day he was ready to leave Kingston, ready to give up. I said, you ain't going nowhere, fool. God ain't tell you to leave. You stay right here. You put your hand to the plow, keep it there. And now this program is a success. You got 17 cats living there now? Come on, man. You can't tell me that God can't take nothing and make something out of it. We surrounded around a cloud of witnesses. God can use you as much as you want to be used by the Lord. Just like the world used you as much as you wanted the world to use you. Only the world used you and chewed you up and spit you out. But God wants to love you. He wants to love you. I'm so glad I served the Lord Jesus Christ today. And some days I wake up in pain, but I say, man, Lord, you got me. I'm not worried about it. Because I love you and you love me. And this is the best love affair any man or woman could be in. It's a love affair that I don't ever want to die. I don't ever want this one to stop. Honey, I love you, but Jesus is a little bit better. Amen, amen. I'd rather give me Jesus. You can have this whole world, just give me Jesus. Because he went where no man, woman, or child could go to snatch me out. and didn't find it robbery to do it. Didn't complain about, oh, I got to go into hell and pick this wheelchair-bound guy up. No, he just went and did what he had to do. Now, he said, I didn't come to do what I want to do. I came to do what my Father told me to do. We need to stop doing our own thing and start doing the thing God's asking us to do. Get in one accord. The body of Christ needs to be more unified. Unity and harmony needs to hit the body of Christ up here. There's a spirit of jealousy running around in the body of Christ up here. Not that the churches ain't doing a God thing, but God wants us to do it together. He don't want your church to be doing your thing and this church doing their thing, and we ain't doing nothing together, because how could the head sit on a scattered body? God loves us all the same. He wants us to come together in unity and harmony. Then we'll see the power of God move upon the earth. We'll be able to see the dead risen, the blinds getting their sight. They see it in other countries because they ain't going for no hidden agenda. They going to love Jesus in one accord. Ain't no big eyes and little U's in other countries. It's just Jesus. So they get to see those signs and wonders that we fly all the way to Africa to see. We can see it right here if we get together. If we get it right in love. So my prayer to you today is that I pray that I said something to encourage somebody, to give somebody a little more hope, a little light at the end of the tunnel where you thought you wasn't going to make it, but God said it ain't over till he says it's over. Amen. God bless y'all. Thanks for having me. I love you.